My name is Amy Esdorn, and I'm here at the Society of Petroleum Engineers Annual Technical Conference and Exhibition at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas. Today is September 28th, 2015, and I'm speaking with David Curry. David, thank you so much for coming and agreeing to be a part of this project.
You're welcome.
So let's begin. My first question for you is, how did you get involved in the industry?
So I graduated, then got a PhD in fracture mechanics in England, went to work for in the nuclear power industry, which was then a nationalized industry, the Central Electricity Generating Board, and research related to the structural integrity of nuclear power plant. Great fun. But as I was there, it became increasingly clear to me that 90% of the people who, like me, had joined as research officers retired as research officers. And I was young enough that this seemed really quite a dreary progression. And at about the same time that dawned on me, Schlumberger announced that they were setting up a research lab in Cambridge, which is where I'd spent 6 years as a student, had a great time, thought, well, that sounds exciting, let's apply there. And I did, and they offered me the job. And I can remember agonizing over, should I accept this and join the hire and fire oil industry and leave behind a secure job for life in nationalized industry? Well, I took the plunge, went to work in the oil industry, and about 18 months later, the Electricity Generating Board was privatized. The research lab in which I worked was closed down. My group leader, last things he had to do, try to find employment for those under 50. Anyone over 50 like him was pensioned off, and it was his job to turn off the lights and close the door. That was more than 30 years ago. I'm still employed in the oil industry. So I probably made the right choice there. Now, I have to say I'm not employed with the same company, but I have been with Baker Hughes for 19 years. I've seen the cycles come and go, and I would hope that those who are joining the industry now will also have an equivalent interesting time.
That's a great story. What kind of drew you to the industry? I mean, you talk about kind of taking the plunge and going from, you know, you're working in fracturing and fracturing patterns, I think is what you said.
Fracture mechanics.
Mechanics.
I was actually going from trying to stop things from breaking, the pressure vessels which contain the core of a nuclear reactor contain the circulating cooling medium or heat transfer medium. So trying to stop those from breaking and ensuring that they would never break, through to drilling, where fundamentally you're trying to break rock as fast as you possibly can. So it was an inversion of the ideas, if you like. And there was an excitement about the industry. One of the first things that we did when I joined Cambridge was go to Schlumberger's then drilling contractors training school in southwest France. And we had one day on the training rig. And at that stage, people made connected one drill pipe to the next, using a chain to spin up the joint before you put the tongs on to make up make the connection. And so we were taught to throw the chain. Well, you wouldn't dare do that now. It was fundamentally a dangerous thing to do. We've moved away from that. Okay, we drill with top drives, and we have the iron roughnecks and everything to get people away. It is a much safer industry than it was. But at the same time, we were taught, you know, a good crew made a connection in 4 minutes. Now, 10 minutes is a rapid connection. Admittedly, top drives mean we only make connections we only have to make one third of the number of connections. But a difference there. I visited a rig working out in East Texas in the 1980s, and There, the rig crews were explaining, or the driller was explaining to me, that he had to have a different crew working on the floor from the ones that would been working out in Louisiana on the Gulf Coast. Because these Texas wells, the drilling was so slow that you might not you might make one connection per tower, whereas the Gulf Coast crews would be used to making a connection every half hour or so. They'd just get bored. So that leads me into how some of the ways in which the industry might have changed. So I mean, and I'll use that East Texas gas well as an example. When I around the time I was born in the early 50s, and I know records show that it was taking maybe 250 drill bits to drill each one of those East Texas gas wells. So around the time I first visited one of those rigs, it was being done with between 30 and 40 drill bits. And you'd moved from steel tooth bits to tungsten carbide sealed bearing bits, and you'd seen that dramatic extension in the longevity of the drill bits. Well, now, with PDC, some of those wells are drilled with just two bits. More like, typically it's three or four, but we're down to that level of two. The drill bit technology has advanced so much that we've seen basically a two orders of magnitude extension in the footage that we can achieve with each drill bit. I guess other ways that the industry has changed over the time since I joined. I remember having an internal workshop about horizontal wells and how those might impact the industry. And this would have been 85 or so. At that stage, Elf had just developed the Rospomare field in the Adriatic offshore Italy, which was a fractured carbonate well field. And that was the first field developed with horizontal wells. And one of their sort of horizontal well gurus came into the workshop and explained that, talking about geometries, you know, there was a limit that you would never be able to get out further than you could go down. You know, that was the sort of physical limit to bear in mind when designing a horizontal well. ExxonMobil have drilled offshore Sakhalin wells that are going out 35 plus thousand feet and maybe down 7,000 to 10,000. So I mean the aspect ratios that are achievable are just dramatically different from what we thought then. And we've moved on. Horizontal wells are no longer the exception. It's almost the stage where you have to explain why you don't think you need horizontal wells to develop a field, rather than why you feel you have to drill them. And horizontal wells are one element of the other dramatic change, or another dramatic change that the industry's seen in only my 30 years, and that is being able to produce hydrocarbon from shale. The combination of horizontal wells and multi-stage hydraulic fractures mean that the shales which were unproductive or just a nuisance, something you tried to drill through as fast as you could to get to the real pay beneath, they've now become the pay. And we're producing large volumes of natural gas and oil from shale. And I do remember one of the Schlumberger executives explaining to me that, yes, we've known about the oil in shale for many years, and for many years it's been, the judgment has been, it would become economic if only the oil price doubled. And whatever the oil price was, it would become economic if the oil price would only double. Well, about 10 years ago, the combination of horizontal wells and hydraulic fracturing meant that not only was producing oil from shale economic, it was really attractive. And we've seen that, the boom in shale drilling.
That's great. So in all of so you've talked spoken about you know some of the innovations that have happened in the last few years, especially during your time in the industry. But what were what was a project or innovation that you worked on that you're the most proud of?
Right. I think I'm probably going to give you two answers to this. Maybe I shouldn't actually be proud. Maybe it's vanity on my part. But the first one is commercial drilling performance service called OASIS, which was developed within Baker Hughes, in fact, which led to me joining Baker Hughes some 19 years ago. And when I joined, it was very much in its infancy, just of one manager and three, I think I was the third engineer to join. And between us, we mapped out the processes involved in optimizing drilling performance, put together a technical structure to underpin the service, and it grew. And we ended up with 60-plus engineers around the world, and the technical support group that I ran provided the process, the technical infrastructure, decision support, the analytical tools that they used. So for good reasons, certainly what seemed like good reasons at the time, Baker Hughes decided to change the way in which drilling performance was offered to our clients. The OASIS service was disbanded, and that was more than 10 years ago. Even now, oil companies will come to us and ask for an OASIS project. So I think we had an impact. We actually created a brand name in there, and that I feel proud of that. The other thing that I feel a degree of personal involvement with, let's say, is a family of polycrystalline diamond PDC cutters that, well, Dan Scott, colleague and good friend, and I jointly came up with the suggestion that here was a technology that could be exploited to improve the abrasion resistance of PDC cutters. And we had some difficulty getting acceptance to that, and the first few prototypes looked promising. It got to the stage, by the way, that the cutters were internally referred to as DC cutters after David Curry, because I was being so insistent that we had to go down that route. And I remember saying, I had to say, look, humour me, make enough that we can put them on a bit and test them in the field. Well, that was 2006, 2007, so wherever we are, 8-9 years on, that cutter technology is still, at least as far as we can tell, still the most abrasion resistant in the market. So I'm pleased about that, I have to say.
And so, I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of sort of testing and retesting. And how did you really go about what? How did you come up with the idea of the abrasion resistance? What specifically started the whole thing?
Right. So what actually started, I may get a little bit technical here. My first degree is in material science, and second and PhD is in fracture of steels. There are certain, particularly looking at the microstructure, the relationship between microstructure and fracture properties. And what I wanted to do was to try to extrapolate that into diamond. Now, the external examiner for my PhD thesis was Professor Norman Petch. In material science, there is a rule, if you like, the Hall-Petch equation, which relates material strength to grain size, and that's what we were exploiting in those cutters, and so the linkage was actually back to my external examiner to be able to say, you know, that, you know, the man who first recognized this fundamental law of material science actually examined my PhD thesis, which I'm rather pleased about. So one of the things that has kept me in the industry, I'll just try to illustrate with a bit of a story. About 2 years or so after I joined Schlumberger, I presented my first SPE paper at an SPE conference. In fact, I think at the annual conference. And after I'd presented it, a man came up at the end of the session and introduced himself to me. This was Marvin Gerhardt, who, founder of one of the biggest service companies in the industry then, and one of the one of Schlumberger's main competitors. And Marvin was sufficiently interested. There he was, CEO, founder of a major service company, sufficiently interested in the technologies and the people that he could come up and say hello to a raw sort of newcomer to the industry. That interest in technology, enthusiasm and interest in people pervades the industry. And I think that's one of the things which makes it exciting and has kept me here.
So you kind of touched on it there, but what has made working in the industry meaningful for you?
So I've touched upon some of the the personalities that are involved and the human interactions. Then at the same time, I think I'm going to get vaguely serious here and say that our product as an industry, hydrocarbon, touches many people's lives, and frankly, it enriches many people's lives. Much of human activity depends upon safe, affordable, and secure access to hydrocarbons, particularly as the energy that they provide, and also the raw materials, or the materials that are rather made from hydrocarbon as the chemical feedstock. Energy is an integral part of much human activity. If you don't have ready access to energy, then your life, frankly, your condition of material standard of living is very much lower. And the alternatives are not very attractive. Similarly, much of what we use in our day-to-day lives is made out of materials that have used hydrocarbon, either as a raw material, part of the raw materials from which they're made, or in the energy that's used to turn those raw materials into the products, the devices we use, our transport, whatever.
Well, this is our last question, and here it is. How has being an SPE member affected your career?
Right. How has being an SPE member affected my career? Pretty profoundly, I think. So I'm here. So I've been an SPE member for 30 years. The SPE says, and quite rightly recognises, its core mission is the collection and dissemination, sharing of technical knowledge relating to the production of oil and natural gas. So I mean, I've been involved in research and development and the application of technology. So I've accessed what other people have done by reading the papers that the SPE has published, by attending the conferences. More than that, it's enabled me to interact with, to meet and interact with others who are working in similar domains. It's given me the exposure to different spheres of activity. Only last month, I was at a summit around definition of reserves in unconventional reservoirs. And I'm there as a driller, and I learned a great deal from that. I'm not sure I contributed very much to the summit, but I learned a great deal from it. I've also been able to work through a number of different committees and on publications side of things. The peer-reviewed journals, particularly the Drilling and Completion Journal, has been a source of great satisfaction, frankly, to me. I've been a technical editor. I've published papers in it. I've been a technical editor, a review chairman, as they used to be called, now associate editor. I've been executive editor. And there's been a great deal of satisfaction in turning papers into print, sharing them with the members, and hopefully providing technology, knowledge that practicing drilling and completion engineers can use to perform their job more effectively.
Well, thank you so much for all your hard work, and thank you for participating in this interview. I hope that you have many more years ahead of you to continue working with us. Thank you.
You're most welcome, Amy. Thank you.